Father, thank you for giving us the desire to take time to wait upon you. We have 365 days in a year. We thank you for letting us tithe, consecrate, surrender the very head of this time, that you can truly direct our hearts and our steps into the rest of the year. Father, you're faithful. You are faithful. We thank you for your grace that has made this possible. We thank you for the wisdom and the things you are impacting and imputing into our lives. We thank you for the things you're taking away from us in our soul, in our minds that have been a hindrance. And we thank you for those things you are putting in, that 2012 will be more productive, more victorious, and more fruitful. Father, that your kingdom will be advanced even greater. Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence. We thank you as we consecrate ourselves even more tonight. We thank you for your spirit of wisdom and revelation that teaches us how to pray, that guides us what to pray, for we know not how. So help us tonight, Holy Spirit, to hear your heart and to cry out to God. Thank you so much for your children that are gathered here tonight. Receive all the glory for what you're doing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The body is not comfortable when it doesn't eat. But that's one of the disciplines that the Lord has given us in the scriptures, that we have power to bring our bodies to subjection. Amen. In obedience to God. Hallelujah. The Lord, I believe, has given a prayer point tonight that I believe is extremely significant to the rest of this year. And I was so thankful that that came to my spirit, because as he's meeting us every day, I've been asking questions. I really want to see fruit in my life this year. I want to see significant results, fruit in prayer center. Please show me, show us how. So tonight is a prayer we're going to commit to the Lord. Because our focus is sonship, amen? We're transitioning from slavery to sonship, from struggling to sonship. It's a place of rest. And we want to be to the best that we can enter this year to live out the characteristics of truly being a child of God in the area of having breakthroughs, receiving favor, having success, as a son of God, not as a son of man. So that's our focus during consecration time. And God will help us through the year to keep transitioning into that mindset. There's a very powerful statement that Jesus made in John chapter 5. He said that the Son, S-O-N, can do nothing, can absolutely do nothing, except what he sees the Father doing. And it says also that I only speak what I hear my Father. So he said, I came to do the will of my Father. So the Son, Jesus, made it very clear that he could do nothing. It's not like he couldn't do anything, but he came to only do what was the will of the Father. Amen? So we found that that's a secret of his life. And he was very successful because he could have come and spent 20 years in ministry and spent less. You know, he could have spent 40 years. He could have spent whatever. But because he's the Son of God, he set a precedent. He set an example. He took a lot of time to prepare, to know the heart and the will of God. And in 3 years, he did more, the Bible recorded, than we can even imagine many people can do. And he finished the work in 3 years. His assignment on it. Very successful work. Amen? So success as a son of God, as a child of God, is attainable. And that's what the prayer point is about tonight. Success in spiritual warfare. Success in our studies, in business, in everything that we do. 2012, how can we enter another level of success? And the Lord will show me tonight, this prayer point is going to be a very key. During the Bread of Life, God used Sister Adewale I use the word prophetic because she didn't know a lot of the things that the Lord will be dealing with us about this year. But she nailed, actually is talking about staying in the book of Joshua. It's so amazing that that will be a focus for the Bread of Life on possessing, walking into the promised land. But I just want to highlight one word and then we'll go to the prayer point that she mentioned. You don't have to open there. I'll just read. It's in Joshua chapter 3, verse 4, about 2012. I'm just referring to 2012. But here they were entering the promised land, and God was giving Joshua so many instructions. And in verse 4 here, Joshua was speaking to the people. He says, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it." He's talking about the Ark of the Covenant. "About 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way hitherto." You've not passed this way before. We have never entered 2012 beyond where we are today. And the Lord has prepared a lot of inheritance for us down the road. There are things God has prepared for us to possess, to inherit. There are wars before us that God expects us for us to win and get the spoils. All through the year, we're going to face things. But God has prepared blessings, provisions, wars and victories. Whatever God has prepared is for the glory of the Lord. But since we've not been that way, how can we look back 2012 when we get to end of 2012 and say, "I was successful"? There are really fruits to show this year was better than 2011 in my life because of what I learned. So that's why I want to share this prayer point is important tonight. I read Joshua. You can just read the whole of Joshua chapter 3 to 4, verse 1 to 4. But I just wanted to point out, you have not been this way before. You've not entered into Canaan before. You've not entered 2012. But there are promises to possess. How are we successful? Let's open our Bibles to Judges chapter 20. Thank you, Lord. Remember, it's about sonship. Jesus is the ultimate, and I already shared his key point. The son can do nothing unless what he sees the father do. To lay the foundation, Judges chapter 20, for time, we don't want to read so many scriptures, but we want to read enough for us to gain some knowledge here. This was a situation where one of the children of Israel was assaulted. The wife was assaulted badly. and it was never heard of what happened. This man took his wife and cut him in pieces and into 12 and came before Israel. And, you know, there was such a grieving, a lamentation. It was a bad situation. And upon that, the children of Benjamin were hosting some Sodomites, things that were contrary to this. So there was a lot against the children of Benjamin because they caused all this. So this man brought this situation before the children of Israel and asked them to judge. They were very angry. It was an offensive thing. So this is the place where Israel, the whole Israel, was coming against the children of Benjamin to fight against them. So let's take it from verse 18. Judges chapter 20. Please follow this story because we're not going to read more. We'll just read another scripture in Samuel and we'll go into our prayer point. But follow this story closely. It's a lot about this here. And the children of Israel, from verse 18, arose and went up to the house of God. And they asked counsel of God. Look, watch that word. They asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? Listen to this. And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. And the children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. And verse 22, and the people of the men of Israel encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array in the first day. And the children of Israel went up, in the first day. Now verse 23. And the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord. Did you see that word? It's a progressive. They wept this time before the Lord until evening and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to the battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, go up against him. And the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again 18,000 men. All these drew the sword, mighty men. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came into the house of God. And they wept. And they sat there before the Lord and fasted that day. Did you see fasting? They fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. They did all this sacrifice in order, the way they should. Now look at verse 27. And the children of Israel inquired, not asked counsel. They inquired of the Lord. For the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thy hand. And if you read the rest of the story, God did exactly that. He totally delivered. The Benjamin would have totally been totally a wiped away tribe if it wasn't for the mercy of God. They have lost a tribe in Israel. Hallelujah. This is a very, very, very deep word. Israel were going to go to battle against Benjamin, and Benjamin has done something horrifying. They went to the house of the Lord the first time before they went to battle. And the word that was used was they asked counsel of the Lord. And the Lord said, go. Then the next one again, they wept before the Lord because they've lost a lot. They went and they wept. And they asked counsel again. And the Lord says, go. And they were defeated. 18,000 people died. But this time, when they came back, the Bible said they sat and they fasted and they waited on the Lord. And this time, they did not ask counsel. They inquired. They inquired of the Lord. The word for prayer today, the revelation, the prayer request, I will share a few more scriptures so you can get it clear. Tonight, we're going to ask God to teach us individually and corporately through the year 2012 in our personal, corporate, marriage, everything we do, to learn to inquire of the Lord before we do anything. And we'll discuss that word. Why will God say go? Go. It's God saying go, but they were defeated. We'll see. So let's open. We'll come back to that. But I know you got. Let's open to 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel. We'll not read a lot there, but this was the situation with David at Ziklag. Just to give you a quick synopsis to this before, because we're just going to read two verses here. One. David has been running from Saul. He was crowned to be king and he was going through a lot in his life. But there's one thing that made David a man after God's heart. It's not just only being in the presence of the Lord, but there's a characteristic that David had that made him a peculiar person. It was the word, David will always wait upon the Lord. He was like a type and shadow of Christ. The Son can do nothing except what I came to do, the will of my Father. The soldiers came. He says, I could call 12 legions of angels and you're gone. I will not usurp my authority, my power. I won't do anything unless what God wants to do. No matter how good it is for me to seek. By nature, we are human beings. And we are made up of three basic departments. We are made up of the spirit, the soul, and the body. There are experiences in the presence of God that what you're about to see tonight about prayer, this inquiring, is that sometimes what you're hearing might just be in your head. Sometimes what you're hearing might just be in your soul is. Sometimes what you're hearing is the spirit. Yes, the word of God
Is God speaking? But what level is he speaking? And where are you responding from? Amen? So tonight, our prayer is, the word inquire, which you're about to see, is you go beyond just revelation, scriptures. You go beyond what everything the word of God speaks. If it's in your head and your soul, is for personal reasons. It satisfies self. It's about self. But when it gets to the spirit, then it's all about God. And it's not easy for men to do. So in this story, David was a man who waited on God. He just spends time in God. He always will ask counsel. Wait. I mean, when he asks, meaning he really inquired. He will seek and he will wait and he will wait until God gives clarity, until God gives direction, until God speaks, until God, whatever it is, David will wait. And David was a man of battles. And every battle he was a victorious king. He was a man of war, but he never went to war without waiting on the Lord. So this particular time, Saul, Israel was going to fight the Philistines, and the Philistines were protecting David. They were doing him a favor. So they were going to battle, and David was going to battle with them. This was one time he never really waited. He went. And on the road, the king changed his mind and says, maybe when the battle gets a certain way, you know, David will change his mind and become their enemy. So he told him not to go with them. But by the time David got back home, that's the story about Ziklag. His whole family, the whole place where they kept David, Ziklag, the tents were burnt down. And the enemy came, and all the Amalekites came and took all their wives, all their children, and everything that belongs to them away. So here, First Samuel 30, verse 4. Just read two scriptures. First Samuel 30, verse 4. Hallelujah. Verse 4, and then we'll go to verse 6. Then David and the men, based on the story I told you, David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. They've lost everything until they had no more power to weep. Very bad distress. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke about stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved. Bitter. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. They were all gone. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. What did he do? My brothers, please note what this man did in the worst moment of his life. He remembered. He knows that God is God. God is, all things are possible with him. And he remembered that in this circumstance, there is nothing God could not do. And he knew the secret of finding what God can do in a situation. So he encouraged, you say, was encouraged. And verse 7, this is what he did. And David said to who? David said to Abishai, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the what? ephod. And Abithar brought thither the ephod to David. And David did what? The very word the children of Israel did after they have suffered a lot. The very word inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let me get this a little bit, make sure that this is off any, so we understand what we're dealing here. This account I'm reading has nothing to do with when you have obeyed the Lord. When you are really obeying the Lord, like they did in wilderness and, you know, or like what happened with Elizabeth and Zachariah, or what happened with Abraham. They were barren. It was not because of anything. They were walking in obedience. This has nothing to do with that. This, what we're talking about here is when we are walking, we are coming to a place where God wants us to work closely with him. And this year, when we are facing battles or needs or our businesses or anything at all, the Lord is calling us to sonship. And one of the characteristics of sonship is the ability to do God's will in place of your will. What has happened is that we have a will. And the human will is very deep. God has a will. The human will is self-centered and selfish. God's will is love, is selfless. So when Jesus says, I only do the will of the Father, it means that everything he does not benefit him. It glorifies God alone. That's why he had to die on the cross. So in the account we read earlier, to know the life of Jesus as his son, in the account we read earlier in the book of Judges, the children of Israel were very angry about what Benjamin has done. And they wanted by all means to execute judgment, but they wanted to do it to get the glory for it, to do it on their own terms. They made up their mind before they went to inquire of the Lord. When they came, shall we go or shall we not? It was just an cliche. God knows they've already made up their mind what they want to do and how they want to do it. So God says, okay, you can go. So they came the next time. They were still angry. And they've lost the battle. They've gone through things. They were offended that, if you look at the account, Benjamin were a very small number. They've defeated them. They've lost. Now their offense has increased. And their motivation is driven by vengeance. They want to get. It's still in their mind. They've made up their mind what they want to do, how they want to do it. But they just want God to bless it. And God says, okay, you can go. They were defeated. Now, when they came back the third time, they laid down their premeditation. They laid down their presumption. They laid down what their mind they've made up. And sincerely, through the fast, they realize, the fast helped them realize, we need to offer sacrifice to the Lord. We need to come to God the right way. And we need to do all that is required to do to get God to speak to us. And we will wait until he speaks, until we hear exactly his mind. So the offers, they waited, they fasted, they cried. And after they waited till the evening, now They called for the Ark of the Covenant. They were not just going to the priest. Shall we go or shall we not? They asked for the Ark of the Covenant to be brought. And after they brought the Ark of the Covenant, they waited and they went through the process and asked for the priest to truly ask the heart of God concerning Benjamin. Should we go or should we not? When they asked this time, they were not asking it with their mind made up. They were asking sincerely, saying, God, if you say go, we'll go. If you say we should not go, we'll bite our tongue. We'll suffer. The two battles, they were angry, they were faint, they were ready, they made up their mind to go. They didn't want whether it's God telling them or not. So it was truly fasting, to the waiting, to the final, the order to do things, and followed it. And as they waited, God finally said, now, I will send you, and this is what you need to do. And they won the battle. David knew this was a lifestyle for him. It was something that his relationship as the root of Christ was a light for generations, was to inquire of the Lord. David did not step in even as king until when the oil was put upon him. The first thing David required was for the Ark of the Covenant to be brought back. Saul spent 40 years as a king, and he only go to Samuel, to the priest, and he was just using the ephods, but he never asked for the oracles of the Lord. It was all about Saul. What he wants to do, even with all the blessing, all the approval, everything Saul did was all self-motivated. Even when he's inquiring of the Lord. And that's what these people were doing. They were self-motivated. They were self-driven. But they were not asking, God, what is your will? What is your will? Now, let me tell you why this prayer is important. Even Jesus knows what is a man. He came to be an ultimate example for all of us when it comes to sonship. Because this was what dethroned Lucifer. God can bless us, but is it based on my will, myself, or is it based on God's will? Jesus himself prayed so hard if there could be another way for him to accomplish the last task. But after he prayed, in the middle of prayer, he understood only God's will suffice. And he says, not my will, but your will. How did he come into agreement with God's will? He must go to that cross. It took fervent prayer. So seeking God's will is not easy. So that's why God, you can read the Bible, you can take all these promises, and you'll be hearing God says, I will bless you. I will do this. You can do that. You can confess. You can do this. You can use all the promises. It can be to just fulfill our lust. But to use it to accomplish the will of God, it takes prayer. That's what the children of Israel finally did. They really now prayed. That is called waiting on the Lord. Sincerely waiting. Finally, to show you, the Bible is full of all these accounts. There was a prophet in a hidden environment called Balaam. God gave him an anointing. It was not, God was just using him prophetically. If he says things, it comes to pass. If he prophesies, and kings knew about it. A lot of people know about it. And they consort with Balaam. So there came a time that the children of Israel were coming, and the king, Balak, saw it and sent for Balaam and offered Balaam great provision. In Balaam's heart, the lust is already kicked in. But Balaam went to God and said, it's for time. If you read it, you'll be amazed. Just like the Judges story. God knew Balaam would come, and he told Balaam from the beginning, do not go. From the beginning. So Balaam already has received the word of the Lord. Amen? So the king sends people. Balaam will say no. The king will send people again. And Balaam kept entertaining this thing, just like Eve. And finally, and every time Balaam will go to God, trying to persuade God. But how is he persuaded? He's saying, God, should I not? He just kept on wrestling to persuade God. Balaam has made up his mind, he's going to go. Because he already knows what God requires of him. So that's another. So Balaam, after a while, God did exactly what happened here with the judges. He says, go, Balaam. And Balaam took off. And that's the story of the donkey speaking. God, in his mercy, tried to still stop him. Got a donkey to speak to show you how far Balaam has gotten into this lust, into this fame, in what he wanted. Balaam could not even hear a donkey telling him that's the wrong way. So, 2012, we've not been this way before. 2011, we might have made mistakes and we might not have grown to this level. But all the promises of God in this Bible are for us. But are we going to settle for everything God tells us to be from our mind, or be from our soul, or be from the Spirit? This is my advice after we pray tonight. Throughout this year, if you have a business or you have a career, whatever we do, especially with the church. Of course, I'm sharing this with you because God is also showing me about the church. So I have my own side to deal with. My personal life, the church life and stuff. 2012, the prayer tonight, a wrestling like Jesus, we want to do tonight. Will you tonight make a commitment? Make a decision tonight that God will give you the grace and the power to inquire his will before you go into, whether small or big, business, 2012, church, whatever. And with that, maybe the scriptures, like we know we're coming to Sonship, we've been talking a lot about speaking the word, about declaration. Let us also pray that when we seek the Lord, that we should be willing to hear from the Lord. And when God speaks, he will give strategies from his word, or you give ideas, or you give instructions. But let us be determined that this year we will seek the Lord to always hear from him in the things that we're seeking him for. We seek him enough before we make decisions, no matter what it is. Amen? Because we don't want to be like the children of Israel, that we want God to bless our premeditated ideas already, based on the scripture. We want it to be his will, even if it's painful, even if it's crucifying. We want his will to be done this year. That's how sons work. The son can do nothing except what his father's will is. So as we're focusing on sonship, let's remember this is the fourth day the word inquire. Let it be a key for us, 2012. Inquire of the Lord first. Inquire. Now, we are humans. We have three dimensions. Sometimes you might not hear. It might not be clear. The word of God, you know, sometimes your mind will be struggling. Your mind will be going places. You'll be thinking. Sometimes you get scriptures. Sometimes you get whatever. But what I'm asking is not a seeking counsel. Inquire. In other words, wait until it's clear. That's the problem this people had. They wanted to go. That's the problem I have. That's the problem we have as humans. We want to act when we hear. Sometimes we need to wait a little bit. Wait a little bit. Wait a little bit. So that when it's clear, we move. Amen? David says, in waiting, I waited for the Lord. Jesus says, I can't do anything, nothing, unless what my Father shows me and what my Father tells me. So tonight, Cheryl, you can join us on the keyboard. Let me tell you the truth, my brothers and sisters. If we're able to really pursue the grace of God to press in into this area of waiting, whether as a businessman, whether as any work you do, I promise you, you will see the supernatural hand of God beyond your natural ability in anything we do this year. Because anything God approves, God will back up with signs and wonders. Jesus did not miss. Everything he did was because he inquired. He waited. He waited. He saw. He heard. He moved. Amen. So that's our prayer today. Amen. Some things God will give wisdom, you know, through his scriptures, but let it be based on the word of God. Amen. Look at Joshua. Every battle was with strategy. Again, you remember Dr. Adeola shared his story. The battles they fought, some are because of sin they lost. But there's one particular, again, this year, in area of deception. If Joshua then waited, they would not let the Gibeonites mask themselves, camouflage themselves, and be able to, if they inquired and followed the process God was showing, it's possible that could be happened. So we are not perfect, but the point is God is saying, if we're going to be sons and start aspiring to be sons, then we need to see why the sons, they have victory. How the sons work. It's not cheap to be a son. You got to depend on the Father completely. Amen. So let's pray tonight that God will give every one of us the grace to inquire of the Lord. To seek him, even when we don't hear, through fasting until things are clear. Amen. Please seek that. It's the key for success this year. It's the key for miracles.